If I was down in Haiti, if I was over in Montreal, you can certainly get the people excited by saying, "Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." And if I was Brother Dave's, I'd say, "Let's everybody stand and praise the Lord." But I don't, you know, we're not in Haiti and we're right here. But I want you to know that I feel something special here. I know that God works in mysterious ways. And I've never done this before. I've never been this way before, Brother Smith. But God works in mysterious ways. I know that God led me here. I know that I'm supposed to be here. The reason I know, you see, and God works in such a mysterious ways that if it wasn't for Brother Smith talking to me over there in Montreal about his eyes and what it was going to happen in regards to molding, I would never have been here. And that's the great wonder of God. God does things in such a way that you would never imagine that it would happen. I'm standing here now because back there in May, Brother Smith talked to me about seeing 2020 vision with his eyes. I says, "I'm interested." He says, "You won't have to wear glasses anymore." I says, "I'm really interested in that." But he says, "I don't know, Brother Goss." He says, "I'm just finding out about it." I says, "Let me know when you get down, when you find out about it. I want to know all about this. I love to see 2020 without glasses. I've never enjoyed glasses, wearing glasses." So he did phone me, and I came down. And I came down, it was back in May, yeah. And so then I'm here again. And you don't know why God has me here. Certainly it's not to preach like up a storm like I'm doing right now. You know? But I don't know what's happening. I just don't know. But I know that it's by the grace of God I'm here. I'm here by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I know that, like I said, grace is a mystery. I believe that. In fact, it's such a mystery that they misuse grace. You think grace can be misused? Yeah. In fact, grace can even become a lie. You can, over there in Jude, it talked about grace as grace. They turned the grace of God. So you can turn the grace of God into something that isn't good. Right? Do you think it's good and say, by the grace of God, all you have to do is just belong to a church. By the grace of God, you will be saved. All you have to do is just believe. And by the grace of God, you will be saved. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And really, it has nothing to do with how you live. But by the grace of God, it will cause you to want to live better. But if you don't eliminate sin, nobody is perfect. And by the grace of God, you will make it. And we're not pointing at anybody, but thank God we have found out there's a little bit more truth than that about the grace of God. There is. We know that that the great early church, that church that was a church that had the power of God working in its life, that was led only by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. They moved by the Spirit. The Spirit of God moved in a great way. Brother Smith was talking about in the meeting regarding the judgment of God at a certain time. And when the church is restored, and what devastation will take place probably before that, and how God will move in a great way, and there'll be a great resurrection, and But God will do things in a great way, and so much that you know that when miracles come, it has an effect upon people. When miracles. Jesus performed the miracle, and it spread. When he met Herod, when he was getting being tried, and he met Herod, one thing that was on Herod's mind was, I want to see a miracle. Everybody wants to see a miracle. And miracles causes crowds. Miracle causes people to come. Miracles, that's people want to be healed. People want to see a miracle. And, you know, and really, if you want to see how people move and you want to see a great revival, you have a miracle. If I had a miracle, Brother Smith, in fact, because of the media today and how it works, if the Lord, and God can do this, if somebody is dead for 4 days and you worked it out and he was a very prominent man in that area and everybody knew him and you raised him from the dead and there was a lot of people there, brother, you know the whole world would know that. Well, that's going to happen when the church is restored. How is God going to bring these people in? That's one way he will bring them in. He will get the attention of the whole world. And we don't believe that the beast system will be doing it that way. But we believe that there will be great miracles. God will move in a wonderful way. And so grace, to me, has to do with power. I believe. Okay, Brother Smith, I'm just going to maybe share just a few thoughts if I can get my mind together here. Over in Ephesians. Let's see. A few thoughts on grace. You know, the word grace, of course, it really means the love of God, the power of God, the working of God. God doing something in your life. Because Paul said it's by, I am what I am by the grace of God. So that is a working. That is something that's moving in your life. It's God's grace, or God gracing us with his power to be able to do or to change or whatever. And so here...
Brother Goss,
yeah.
Let me give you the definition of grace.
Okay.
It's what you're saying. It's the divine influence upon one's heart and it's in reflection in their life.
And the reflection?
God's divine influence on your heart or in your life and its reflection in your behavior.
Right. In other words, the grace of God will cause you to do certain things. The grace of God, it's the divine, it's the pure, it's God that's working in your life. No wonder it says it's only by grace. This is a great mystery. This is a great thing that come upon God's people. It was Peter stood up in that council and said, we believe, but we know that the law was great. We know that God gave us much, but we all know that the law ended when the grace of God came through Jesus Christ. We know that that happened. And this grace, you have to know how the grace of God works. And it's wonderful, regardless of what level you're standing in, to be thankful for the grace of God. I believe many people, and God has blessed many people, when they sang that song, and it's probably the most famous song on grace, it says, amazing grace. We, you know that song, Amazing Grace, how great. The sound that saved a wretch like me. That's wonderful. And God is able to bless them in that level. But as we, God helps us and causes us to understand and works in us and we understand grace, we say there's nothing else we need but the grace of God. But you can get to a place where you say there's nothing else you need but the grace of God. And then you can see what we saw even at the campground. Say, look, I am, a relationship with Jesus Christ is more important than anything. That's what was said. But maybe they were, that sort of thing is wonderful, that's great, but you cannot move away from the divine order of God. You know, you can talk about the grace of God, but still make sure that you that you're lining up with the order that God has set in the earth. For example, Paul said he got a revelation about the grace of God. He got a revelation about the salvation of God. He got a revelation on the road to Damascus, and he saw Jesus, and he got a revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's one thing he knew, Brother Smith, that he had to be connected. And not just be connected because you say, I've been around this people for 30 years and I'm going to stay with this people. I know that I should stay with this people. But you could be around the people for 50 years but not be working right. You can. You just don't work in the right way. Because Paul worked in the right way. Because he was subject to the ministry. That was very important to Paul. In fact, that he was really putting on what the Lord caused them to write about. It says in, what is it, in Philippians? It says, about the mind of Christ. How does that start? Let this mind be in you. In Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Of course, the mind, let this mind be in you, which Jesus was a servant. He was a slave. We heard about that at the campground. But he was a slave, and he was subject. He was willing. He was obedient, totally obedient to his master, or totally obedient to the Father. And so, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself. Now, in order to be subject to the ministry, you have to humble yourself. So, we have to know what this ministry is saying. I know somebody will say, well, this ministry can make mistakes, and they can, but right now, that's what God is asking us to do. Be subject to what God is doing. And so, even though that relationship with Jesus Christ, which is by the grace of God, and that is powerful, and that will change your life, and you can take on the nature of Christ, but you also, if you don't be subject to the ministry, or be subject to what God has set up as authority, whether it be the natural parts of things, whatever it may be, but if you're not subject to that, then you can lose out. You can fall from the grace of God. You can fall from that place. You could be the greatest teacher here. But if you say, well, and you get an independent mind that you're, what you say you believe, and yet you're not in agreement. Paul said it like this. He says he wanted the right hand of fellowship. It was very important to him to have the right hand of fellowship. And when there was a dispute about circumcision, he went to Jerusalem and got that straightened up. But then also another time he went to Jerusalem and James said, this is what I'd like you to do. Be subject, and you know what he had to do. Listen to what I have to say. Purify yourself. The people need to hear what's on your heart. Need to hear where you stand with the Lord. Need to hear that you're willing. You're willing to go all the way with Christ and be obedient, be subject. Let this mind be in you. Be humble, Paul. Be humble. Because it takes to be obedient, you have to be humble. There is no way. If you want to truly be obedient in every way, you have to really humble yourself many, many times. And so it says, Let this mind be in you, which it was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not, but humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So it's humbling yourself. So I know that it was mentioned yesterday regarding, before you turn away from that Ephesians, I wanted to turn to one scripture. I mentioned how grace is the power of God. I believe it's God's working power in us. I believe it's God's divine love to us. It's and so in verse 20 of Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, to the power that worketh in us. That's why I believe that Paul got so excited when, because there's a great power. The grace of God is God working in us, doing his good pleasure in us, doing what he wants to do in us, when we can totally give over to him and say, Lord, you can do it. I can't. You know all about how to do it. And so when knowing that through that kind of process that you will come forth like gold, that you will be able to take on the nature of Christ, that you will be able to marry the lover of your soul, you want to, but you don't know how it's to be done. But it's by the grace of God that it will be done. And so that's why Paul was, like I said, was so excited when he prayed three times and said, I need help. I need to have this thorn removed. And this thorn was something that, you know, in the Bible, when it talks about thorn, it talks about people. It's not talking about something in the flesh. It's that all right, but it's not something that has to do with a natural problem, I don't believe. It has to do with people. They're a thorn in your flesh. And so... So Paul went on to say regarding how this thorn worked. He says, "I was he saw visions. He was caught up to third heaven. Saw things that wasn't even mentionable. And then he said, unless I should be exalted above measure, and you can exalt, you can allow somebody to exalt you, and enjoy that above measure." You can exalt yourself by enjoying what you have to say, and you know right well that they're thinking more highly of you than they ought to think. Yeah, I think that's what was happening with when Paul spoke to him in 1 Corinthians. What was it, 3? He says, one says, I am Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. They were exalting. They were actually looking at what was the man instead of what God was doing and exalting him. I'd rather listen to this one. I'd rather listen to that one. But, you know, we're learning. We come to the body of Christ to learn how to really consider that regardless of if God anoints you, you are the greatest. You can do great, wonderful things. I am not Brother Smith. I'm not the teacher Brother Smith is, and I'm not doing a very good job right now. I don't know why. Maybe I should just sit down. But I want to tell you that that thorn that he had, which I really believe was the fact that he had to carry around with him and have it a part of his life, and God wouldn't take it away from him, the fact that he persecuted the church, that was killing him. That memory of that. And that he was reminded of that in many, many different ways in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That sure would keep him small. That wouldn't exalt him in any way, knowing what he actually did. Someone would say, yeah, but he did that ignorantly. Well, we all know that, but it hurt him, knowing that some woman was in his church, and she didn't have a husband because he was a part of putting him to death. That would hurt. And it was, he loved the church. He loved God's people. And he knew that that woman was suffering because he took away her husband and where he went to. And I believe he suffered greatly over that. And he says, God, take that away. I think of it too often. This comes upon me. It buffets me. Meaning it was with him all the time. It was buffeting him. Just like a ship that's being buffeted in a harbor. He was being buffeted with this thought. God, I need help. And then when he heard about the grace of God, and he knew what the grace of God was. It was only by the grace of God could he ever make this. It was only by the grace of God would he ever have his desires met, that he would be like Christ. And he says, then, of course, what happened was, even though he had it, it became light to him. He was thankful for having it. Even though it was something like maybe when I was looking after my wife, because of the love I had for her, I was thankful that I had the privilege to be able to look after her. I was really thankful for that, that God gave me the privilege to look after her. And I think that's something like Paul was thankful for the thorn. It turned around the other way, praying, agonizing before the Lord. I need your help. I need you to remove this thorn. He says, three times I prayed, and the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. And so when I look in Philippians there, I may be able to understand a little bit more about the grace of God. When it says in verse 12, chapter 2 of Philippians, it says in the last part of 12, it says, so work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because it's only by the grace of God is God able to do this. It's not by your power. It's not by your might. It's not by what you are doing. And then if you don't understand that, maybe what will happen is then you will either go from one ditch to the other, say, we don't have to do anything. It's by the grace of God we'll be saved, because the grace of God is unconditional. No, I don't believe that. And then also, and then if you put any kind of work into it, but it is a working. It says, work out your own salvation with trembling. Over there in Colossians, he talks about striving. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I believe that fear and trembling is make sure that it's God doing it and it's not you. God has to do that work, Lord. And we can, you know, God leads us into a place where we know. And if you don't know, then you're among brothers and sisters that will know that it's, and how the grace of God is working in their life. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His good pleasure is so that you can respond to the grace of God. It's the love of God. It's God's wonderful working. It's God's wonderful grace. What did you say? God's wonderful, divine
influence
of the divine. The divine influence of God that's reflected in your life. Praise God. No wonder he said, let your light shine before men. This wonderful grace of God that will shine in your life. And so I'm not sure whether I had anything to say. Maybe I missed the Lord. But anyway, whatever it is, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to receive what I've received. Thankful for Brother Smith. I'm just thankful for how the Lord works and does things. And praise God. God bless you. And I'll just...
Hallelujah. I appreciate Brother Goss and his work over in Keswick, Ontario, Canada, and then he oversees the churches in Montreal, and we have a church in Ottawa. Brother Brother Joseph Desrivier, you remember the Haitian brother that was blind in the latter part of his life? Well, he won Brother Goss, basically, to this body. And he sent a brother from his church over in Port-au-Prince to Canada to teach Brother Goss and his church these doctrines. And then he started a work over in Montreal. And Montreal, Quebec, is the eastern part of Canada, and it's the French province of that nation. They speak French primarily there. And so the Haitians, of course, fit in there well, as they speak French and Creole. And so Brother Desrivier then had Brother Goss oversee a church there in Montreal. Well, other Haitians began to go there, and Brother Leniger, of course, being over Mission Voice and the Haitian work, Brother Nick's work, the brethren put him over that in 1987, I believe it was. And Brother Leniger asked Brother Goss, said, you know, he was the general overseer, but he asked Brother Goss, he said, I want you to oversee these works here in Montreal, and along with the work you're overseeing, I want you just to help me and oversee them all. Well, when Brother Leniger died, Brother Goss called me and asked me, did Brother Leniger tell you anything about the work in Montreal? Did he say anything to you about that? Because he knew that Brother Leniger had me working with him with the works in Haiti. And I'd went to Canada several times with Brother Leniger and was there with Brother Goss and he. And I told him, no, he didn't. He didn't say anything to me about that. And he said, well, I feel I'm going to need help with Brother Leniger's being gone. So I just told him I'd help him as much as I could. But I went up there later, and God just put us together. The Lord just worked it out. And Brother Goss has become a really dear friend to me. And I enjoy going up there and being with him and his work in Keswick and the churches there in Montreal, and Brother Wilford's work in Ottawa. And now there's a brother from Orlando, Florida. There's several Haitians that's lived in America for a long time that haven't got papers. Well, finally, with all of this discussion among the Senate and the government about the immigrants and border controls, finally, the customs and immigration departments came down on those people. Some of those Haitians been living in America for 10, 15 years. They gave them notice, we're deporting you, we're sending you back. Some of them had children here. And there's a brother in Orlando that pastored a church, Brother Bai. He was one of those people. Well, first there was people in Brother Leslie's church in Delaware, several of them, probably 20, 30 people. And they had to get out of, had to go back to Haiti or get out of America. Well, the Queen of England, which is really just a figurehead over Canada, they still recognize the king, at least as a figurehead. Well, she appointed a Haitian ambassador, or what's her actual position, Brother Goss? Governor General, Attorney General, I believe it is. Now, I have to believe this is God. Somebody talked in the meeting at the campground about the book of Esther, how the hand of God worked all through that book. Just, you know, how that the Jewish people were preserved by the hand of Esther. And here, the queen appoints an attorney general that is a Haitian woman. And she opens up Canada to receive Haitians. I have to believe that's the hand of God. And those people went to Canada. And Brother Bai went, and he was going to Montreal, but they basically forced him to go to Ontario, Toronto. And so now he's there, speaks very good English, a wonderful interpreter, and he's starting a work there in the Toronto area and working with Brother Goss, Brother Ron McNabb very well. And so God's setting a stage, and there's things happening. We had a meeting, I think the largest meeting we ever had in Canada this year in August. Wonderful meeting up there. So I asked somebody, who was it? Brother Mauser. By the way, I saw Sister Brenda Norman at the meeting. And she's going to be coming for a visit, I think, this week. And still her same self, you know. And was all really happy to see us. Anyway, I asked Brother Mauser, I said, you need to go with me sometime to the Dominican Republic. He said, look, Brother Smith, the only time I've ever been out of America is when I was up in Detroit and somebody wanted us to go on over into Canada to the Niagara Falls. And he said, I went over there with them and they like to never let us back in America across the border. Said, we had all kinds of trouble. He said, I made a promise then, God, if you'll get me back home, I'll never leave this country. So I said, well, I guess I'll let you out on that. Anyway, Brother Goss has been a faithful laborer of God there and among those works, and God's used him in a great way, and I just count it a blessing to be a part. You know, God lets you be a part of the kingdom. Wherever he lets you work, that's a blessing. And then this deal we're going through together with our eyes. I've had the last 2 days I've been able to see real good. They think they found out that I'm wearing my lenses too long at night. If I wear them too long, I can read the next day, but I can't see far away. And but if I take them out in about 5 or 6 hours, I can see distance, but I can't read quite as good. Last night, I didn't get in till 1 o'clock this morning. Sister Smith let me sleep till 9. So I can read good this morning, but I can't see y'all. But I'm studying all this, you know, because God, I'm finding out what it's like. You know, in the natural, when a body can't see, when a human can't see good, when the body of Christ have ministers that don't have good understanding, I don't think our understanding's where God wants it to be yet. And I'm praying, God, help me. Help your ministry, Lord. Give us a greater understanding. Of your word and your purpose, your plan. Amen. We're serving a good God today, saints. He loves us and he won't fail us. He started a work. He's going to finish it. Let me hear an F. See if that's... Well, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. And if I love him, would I die? He will take me hold on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus really loves me. Yes, Jesus, He loves me. The Bible tells me so. Well, Jesus loves me, and He will stay close beside me all the day. And if I love Him when I die, He will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus, He loves me. The Bible tells me so. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus really loves me. Yes, Jesus, He loves me. The Bible tells me so. Well, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And if I love Him when I die, He will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus, He loves me. Yes, Jesus, He loves me. Yes, Jesus, He loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Play it, Brother Mark. I think He loves you today. Oh, I feel that. Hallelujah. What a God. Hallelujah. He forgave all my sins. Bless His holy name.
Oh, yes. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus.
Why don't you stand up and sing it with me?
Oh, yes, Jesus, He loves me. The Bible tells me so. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus, He loves me. Yes, Jesus, He loves me. The Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus really loves me. Yes, Jesus, He loves me. The Bible tells me so. Praise God. Praise the Lord. They have dinner ready downstairs. Praise God. All right, maybe the seniors could go ahead and head that way. Let's ask God to bless our food and our time together as we fellowship, meet downstairs. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for today. God, for your goodness, your provisions for us, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, your hand on our lives, your love that exceeds all that man can comprehend. Oh, bless your wonderful name, Father. You're worthy. You're worthy of our praise, our thankfulness, Lord. Praise your name. Touch our food and our fellowship. Oh, God. Touch these babies, Lord, Brother Matt and Sister Reva. Oh, God, help them to be completely in health and come home.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bless that home, that house, oh, Lord. And Brother Doug York, raise him up, Lord. Help them, oh, God, in their move. Brother Dave and Sister Gail, Lord, overshadow them and help them, oh, God, in this transition, we pray. Hallelujah. We give you praise. All right, band practice at 4 o'clock.
Part-timers
and full-timers, they say.